You say, can you bring me three referrals? Do you know three people who fit into this thing? And then if they come to you and say, well, I don't know three, but I know one, and here it is, happy day. If they say, this is a friend of mine, then that person's vouching for you, and you know, that person gets shot in the face or something if you do something wrong.
Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy and I'm here today with my co-founder, Richard Greenan. We're CEO and COO at procurementexpress.com. We take the hassle out of managing your company's purchasing with magical features. And today we are here to kind of talk about that, but you're going to get an inside seat on Richard and I's discussion on how to be referable. Referrals is a really important part of growing your business. So if you're, let's say, a fractional CFO, you're looking to be referable into your clients. If you're earning any sort of business, you want to generate more leads and more clients for yourself. First, you want to be referable. Your contacts and the people around you want to know how to be able to refer business to you. And we're going to share what we know about that based on our experience, largesse, world weary, I suppose, lived experience in the world together, and we're going to talk about it. So I'll start mincing my words and I'll hand it over to Rich. Rich, how are you today?
Very well, thank you very much.
Cool. All right, so why should we be qualified to figure out how to make someone referable or talk about how to become referable to other people?
Well, I guess we both had lives before Procurement Express, and in those past lives we were both members of an organization called the BNI, right?
Yeah, Business Networking International business organization that helped typically SMB owners, so lawyers, accountants, graphic designers, IT support people, come together at normally 7 o'clock in the morning. They would train one another on how to find customers for one another. So it was kind of network marketing, if that's not the right expression. And yeah, I guess we didn't meet there, Rich, but that's where we cut our teeth in figuring out how to grow a business. You were a lot more successful with BNI, I think, than I was. What were you doing at the time and who do you think BNI suits?
Yeah, well, I owned an IT support company that operated in the location around where the BNI chapter, as it's known, was that we worked in. So that was very helpful because I'm dealing with business people who are also in the location and are also selling to that location, which was Dublin. I think it was successful for me because of that. And I think it's successful, very successful for kind of companies that are local in that way, for that, where local companies within the vicinity of where the chapter is can recommend other local companies and so on. So I think it's useful in that regard. But the other thing is that makes it, I guess, kind of unique to some extent is the fact that it was kind of exclusive in terms of there was no competition, right? So one butcher, one baker, one candlestick maker, and not two. So I think that's also what made it successful.
Yeah. So the format was you come together, you sit around in a circle, and one by one, you get up and you'd give your 60-second, right? It was an explainer of what your business did. And what was the purpose of that?
Well, the main purpose of that, I think, was to teach people how to refer or get you referrals, so how to refer your business. And really, it was about teaching people what to listen for when they're in another company and they're listening, you know, they're doing a piece of work, whatever it is. It could be an electrician who's fitting a new light switch. And while they're there, they're listening. And, you know, someone's kind of bitching about their, like in my sense, their computer not working. And the electrician says, oh, hold on a minute. Do you need an IT support guy? I know an IT support guy. But the 60-second presentation was all about teaching people what to listen for, how to refer business to you based on what you were kind of looking for.
Yeah, so this is the first piece of aha moment for me was it's not good enough for you just to go around doing what you're doing. You actually have to train your network on how to find business for you. It's no good. They're not going to stay up late at night trying to figure out what you do, especially these days. A lot of people are very specialized. So you got to actually give them the words to use so that and the opportunities to spot so that they can realize that they may be in front of an opportunity to, you know, help you and help their contact. So what was a good pitch or a bad pitch? What was a good training that people gave, or what were the elements that would be in a good 60-second?
Well, I think that so the first thing you've already touched upon, teaching them kind of what to listen for. And part of that was being as kind of defined as possible or specific as possible as to what you were actually looking for. So an example of that would be that it's not good enough to say that you're looking for nurses who work in a hospital. If you sell cancer drugs, you have to say, if you sell cancer drugs to old people, you have to say that you're looking for nurses in the oncology department of a geriatric hospital or a geriatric department, because that's exactly what you're looking for. If you say I'm looking for just nurses, then people bring you nurses, but a large portion of those nurses are not the correct people that you're looking for. And so you have to turn them away. So that's another point, is that at the end of it, if someone brings you a referral, you have to be good to that referral and be kind of credible and actually work it and deal with them in a nice way. If people are bringing you referrals and they're the wrong ones, and you're just turning those people away because they're not the right customer for you, then that's not a good thing either, right? It's not a good thing for the person bringing you a referral.
And this is the other side of that is a mistake I still see all the time. I was speaking with someone last week and they were like, I was like, well, who's a good customer for you? And they'd say, well, you know, anyone who's in business. And I'm like, well, I know loads of people who are in business. Which one should I even think about bringing to you, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the antithesis of that is, I remember one guy used to stand up and he used to say something along the lines of, I'm looking for an introduction to the CFO UNICEF, like a specific person. And I thought the genius of that was, okay, I don't know the CFO at UNICEF, but I know, let's say, the CEO over there. Is that any good, you know? Or I know the CFO at Concern or Boys and Girls Club of America or wherever. And that would sort of spark people's, it stood out because it's so specific, but then it made, you know, people aren't stupid. They'll figure it out. They'll go, oh, okay, well, I know Richard's looking for the intro to CFO at UNICEF, maybe Concern will also be good. So that was another strategy. And you can't be too specific, or otherwise you would just be bland. So got to be as specific as possible. Yeah. Okay, so you got to be specific. What's the next thing, a good pitch or a good making yourself referable?
So when you're asking people for referrals, it's to ask for more than one. You ask for three in the thought that you'll probably get one. If you ask for one, then people say, oh yeah, I'll find you one. And then they go off. If you ask for three, and they look for three, then they might get one, they give you the one, and then you're happy. So if you're asking kind of, that's more, I guess, if you're asking for referrals from, say, a customer. So if you've got a customer and then you say, well, can you bring me a referral? You say, can you bring me three referrals? Do you know three people who fit into this thing? And then if they come to you and say, well, I don't know three, but I know one, and here it is, happy days. But if you say, do you have anybody? If you're more kind of wider than that, and you say, do you have anybody then that you know that fits into this basket, then they often don't come back with anybody. So it's better to ask for three rather than one or anyone that can. That kind of wording is not good.
And isn't that super socially awkward to say those words in front of someone?
Well, it is, but if you're doing a good job for a customer, then they want to help you, right, most of the time. So if you're not doing a good job for them, then you probably know you're not, or they might tell you you're not, or they might not bring you a referral. So perhaps that's an indication that you're not, and perhaps you need to work on the customer a bit more and help them out a bit more or add more value or whatever. But if they bring you a referral, then they're actually, what they're doing is they're trusting you with their network, and they're bringing you that they're, and you're becoming part of that trust. It's a bit like all the mafia films where they say, this is a friend of ours and this is a friend of mine, you know? So if you're in the mafia, they say on the film, on the movies anyway, they say, this is a friend of ours because you're in the mafia. If they say, this is a friend of mine, then that person's vouching for you. And you know, that person gets shot in the face or something if you do something wrong. So I don't know where I don't know what film I got that from, but it's a bit like that. You have to, they're bringing you into their network and they're saying, this is a friend of mine. So you have to make sure that, you know, that you have to make sure that you do good by them.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So I guess that's the third part. When you do get a referral, like, or you have to give people evidence that you're going to be able to look at, you're going to be able to do a good job, because when they refer you, they're putting their name on the line, because it'll reflect badly back on them.
Exactly.
So you got to give them a good reason why you are trustworthy for that reason, right? So it's not going to, and you've got to realize, people, it's not easy. If you're asking for a referral, you're asking people to do something fairly significant, and they've really, you've really got to back it up with the goods. Okay, so let's review then. So you got to, you teach people what to listen to very specifically by being as defined as possible. Asking for 3 referrals, even if it is socially awkward, is the way to do it, let's say. And then you got to be credible. You got to back it up and actually give people a reason to believe that you are trustworthy enough to trust them with their reputation. Is there anything else?
That's everything I can think of in terms of the BNI teaching anyway.
Okay. All right. So let's try this out now on Procurement Express and see how well we do, listeners. So Rich, you know, what would you say to someone if you were to train people listening here on how to identify an opportunity for Procurement Express? What would you tell them to listen for?
Yeah. So I guess I'd start with the type of company that we do like a really good job for. And that would be companies that work on a project by project basis, people that are updating their kind of budgets regularly, managing budgets within a project, something that Procurement Express does exceptionally well for customers. Often the first people we talk to are they're finance people, but they're fairly new in the job. They might have been in the job 6 months. They might be complaining, if they're a friend of yours, they might be complaining about invoices turning up that they knew nothing about and that kind of stuff. That's something that we see. And they might be looking to start controlling spend, kind of getting rid of the low-hanging fruit of managing the money within a business, and like that's controlling spend often. They don't want to spend, or they don't want to go through the process necessarily of bringing in a bigger ERP system. They don't want to give everybody access to their current account system. So they might have an account system that can produce a purchase order, for instance, but they neither want to give everybody access to that, and they neither want to be generating the purchase orders themselves for everybody, because that is a lot of work. They might be worried about whether their people in general are going to use a system. And so they need something that on their side is fairly simplistic to the end user. So it can be used, it can be picked up very easily by the end user and used, although, you know, it's got stuff in the background. So those things are I guess it could always be more specific and more defined. There's never a time when it can't be, as like you said, you know, the guy was looking for the CFO of UNICEF Ireland. That's very specific, right? And it can always be, it's probably slightly more specific than that from our point of view, but they're the things where the customers we can add the most value to. Let's put it that way, I think.
Okay, so there's 4 things to listen out to. Someone who's new to a finance team, they don't want to buy an ERP. They don't want people to just dig into Sage or QuickBooks or whatever they are, start raising POs themselves. They want more accountability around purchasing, and they're worried about adoption. That's what a business. Obviously, I guess they have to do a lot of purchasing, right? If they don't do any purchasing, then...
Yeah, if they buy nothing, then they probably don't need a purchasing system.
Yeah. All right. So you can see it's tricky enough. So long in the tooth as we are, when it comes down to doing it for your own business, it's easy. It's not that easy. And but it's definitely worthwhile spending time on honing, because the easier it is for people to understand what you do, the easier it is for them to refer business to you. And it's kind of a superpower. It doesn't just extend to the people that you meet, but it means extends to all of your marketing messages. So every time you have a headline or the first 3 lines of a blog post or the first opening sentence of a podcast, you got to be able to nail exactly what it is you're looking for quickly, or because people zone out very quickly. And I think fair to say we've got a work in progress on our hands too. Lastly, just to wrap up, why should people trust us with their business? Why are we credible to be referred?
That's a great question. I think that we've got a proven track record I think that if you were to look at, we just do a search for reviews for Procurement Express, you'll see that we've got a proven track record in all of those specific items that we've identified there, you know, for project-based companies, for people that if you're worried about your staff members using a new system, you just have to look at the reviews that we've got to show how people love to use Procurement Express and that it's, you know, ease of use and the simplicity of it for most users is there. So I think we've got a proven track record. I think that's fairly clear. I think that I think that we were able to deal with those customers that range from all sorts of, you know, size wise. And yeah.
So we handle billions of dollars of spend. We've got hundreds of 5-star reviews online, more than anyone else. Let's go with that. All right. So that's it. How do we do, listeners? There's 3 types of podcasts that I do here. I interview fractional CFOs, interview other software companies, and interview people from inside the team, typically like this, about a tactic or something specific that hopefully you might find useful in your own business. So if you thought this was useful, please leave me a comment or email james.kennedy@procurementexpress.com. Maybe you've got your own business tip you'd like to come on and share. Or if you've got a referral, email richard@procurementexpress.com. I'm sure he'll be very happy to look after it for you.
Indeed.